This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
We wanted the Texans to get Gerald McCoy. It looks like the Texans are not only going to get Gerald McCoy, but early implications are Gerald McCoy could be heading where every other big-name free agent, rookie, whatever.
It's the only place to be.
Well, buddy, boy, I want you to get excited here.
Cleveland.
That's where all the cool kids are going.
Gerald McCoy visiting the Cleveland Browns today. Apparently, 10 teams were interested. John Dorsey has openly said he wanted McCoy to come to Cleveland. The Cleveland Browns Twitter account actually announced that they were hosting Gerald McCoy.
Nothing wrong with that.
It looks like he could be getting a one-year, $11 million deal, according to some reports. You talked about going all in. And when you talk about going all in, I don't know that the Texans are really doing that right now with the $41 million remaining in cap space and no buzzworthy, for lack of a better term, free agent moves. But it looks like the Cleveland Browns are going all in. They're going coconuts deep this offseason.
Yeah, no, I had, you know, when the Texans were making these moves, or more specifically not making these moves in the free agency, you know, we talked about right here with the loopholes. You asked me, you know, what is all in? Define all in. And it's kind of hard to define because the Texans might say they're all in with the moves they made, you know, even though it wasn't Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown or whatever, you know. They might define it as all in. But this is all in. I mean, when you're talking about, you know, bringing in guys, trading for Odell Beckham Jr., bringing in Kareem Hunt, Olivier Vernon, trading up to get Greedy Williams, and now just openly, including on your Twitter account, talking about recruiting Gerald McCoy. That like I said, it's kind of hard to define, but that's what you know when you see it, and that's all in. The Cleveland Browns are all in.
I mean, they acquired Odell Beckham in the offseason. They went and signed Kareem Hunt after a suspension with the Kansas City Chiefs. They traded up for Greedy Williams. They brought in Olivier Vernon. I mean, they're doing everything that you can do to try to win. And they're not really important for, you know, the tangible success that it results on field, because we've seen teams make splashes like this and kind of fall flat on their face. But they're doing stuff that gets fan bases excited, which really doesn't matter in the big scheme of things.
But it does in Cleveland.
In Cleveland, it does.
Yeah.
And Figgy, you're from there. I was there for a short time. You give Cleveland fans a reason to be excited, they're going to be excited. And I'll just put it this way. As much as when I was there, LeBron James won a championship, and that was the first time the Cavs have won a championship in a long time. There were people crying. There was a parade with how many ever people there. It wasn't no 1.3
like 2 million.
Yeah. No, there wasn't, because we made up that number on the show. We made that number up. There's receipts on that. But regardless, as happy as they were, that was amidst the Browns going 0-16 and 1-15. This was during the RG3 thing, the RG3 experiment. Even amidst the Browns being the laughingstock of the NFL and you being able to get tickets for $7, $8 out there in Cleveland, and LeBron James being the face of the NBA, the face of sports, all that,
yeah,
it was still a Browns town.
Absolutely.
And the numbers did not lie. I mean, when you talked about Browns, you could go look, and the Browns were what moved the needle. It was always that way. They always loved the Browns. People were still protective of the Browns.
Guess what other cities like that? Guess what other cities like that?
What other city?
You're living in it. It's a football town, man. This is a football. Astros, hey, of course. I mean, Astros are going to be, you know, maybe in the World Series again. They're clearly the hot commodity in town. They've got star power. They've got, you know, they've done it all. If the Texans do what the Astros did, it's not even going to be close. It's not even going to be close.
I've said this 100 times. There is some Texans apathy, and it is weird how fan bases try to divide themselves. I've seen it from, you know, there's a lot of Astros fans. For the most part, I think if you're a Texans fan, you're an Astros fan. If you're an Astros fan, you're a Rockets fan. Like, it's all connected. Well, there's a lot of times where you know, even Astros fans are like, oh, who cares about the Texans? We're the best team in town. Nobody's going to debate that. And then there's Rockets fans who are like, well, we've had more success. Quit treating us like the Texans.
Yeah.
There is some apathy towards the Texans. And I think that just has to do with the fact that there's not much sweat equity here because they've only been here since 2002 and they really haven't endured much success along that time, despite the fact that many teams have. Many teams have been to conference championships. The Texans haven't. And, you know, guys your age, John, can't point back to that uniform and say, I remember when Earl Campbell wore that. I truly do believe that if the Texans had come back as the Oilers like the Browns did the Browns, I think there would be that exact same excitement. And in your defense, you say there already is, but I think it would be a lot more clear and there wouldn't be any apathy. If the Browns had come back, the Cleveland, whatever, Lake Erie's or whatever the hell they want to call themselves, there wouldn't be that passion there. But the guys who are watching the Browns, the guys who are following the Browns.
It wouldn't be the deepest relationship. The relationship with the Texans doesn't run as deep because a lot of older guys and women – you know, the deepest relationship they had as a kid, and that's, let's face it, that's when you build these associations and relationships. They were the Oilers,
right?
But all that said, I'm just telling you right now. I mean, if the Texans do what the Astros did, multiply it times 5 or 10 in terms of what the city's going to be.
I mean, it's like the stepdad, man. Like, you know, like you, the Oilers were basically your dad for a long time, mm-hmm. and then they went away. And no matter how good the stepdad is to you and no matter how happy you are to have football back,
that's a good way
you're to always going to sit back and you're going to talk about your dad and you're always going to admire what your dad did instead of the stepdad. That's what the Houston Texans are. If they would have come back to Oilers, I mean, I think the buzz would be even higher, but you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think this is a football town through and through, but the Houston Astros, damn, that's a damn good ball club. And speaking of them, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Sports Radio 610. The team that ended the Astros season last year, the Boston Red Sox, in town for the first time since last year.
Good thing the White Sox aren't.
When they won, yeah, thank goodness, because the Astros lost to them 4-0 the second straight time. But the team that ended the season last year for your Houston Astros, 3 straight home losses in the ALCS, they're in town. And we know the Astros are going to win the AL West. That's a given. But they could use another arm in that rotation just because of the uncertainty of Gerrit Cole. And the fact that you've already had Colin McHugh fail as the number 3 starter, and you really don't know after that what you're going to get from each guy. So I'm going to throw 3 guys at you that could potentially be added to the Houston Astros rotation, and I want you to tell me of these 3 guys which one you would most rather have. We'll start with number 1, Marcus Stroman with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Numero uno.
Love him.
28-year-old, final year of a $6 million deal. He's a 5'8 pitcher. He's only one of 6 pitchers since the 21st century to start at that. He's a competitor. He's gotten into it with Alex Cora in this year. Basically called him out and told him, if you want to shut me up, go ahead and hit me. 2-6 this season, but he does have a 2.81 ERA. That's option number 1.
Marcus Numero Stroman dos.
From the Toronto Blue Jays. Option number 2, Madison Bumgarner.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best postseason pitchers that we've ever seen. 8-3 with a 2.11 ERA in 16 postseason appearances. He's in the final year of an extension. He signed 7 years ago with the San Francisco Giants. He only makes $12 million this year. He's 29. He's 3-4 with a 4.1 ERA. Madison Bumgarner, option number 2, a guy who he has the coconuts that Justin Verlander has, and he also would add a lefty at the top of that rotation. Option number 3, and this one would be a sports radio host's dream.
Yeah, it would.
Trevor Bauer. He's the Astros' biggest nemesis. Him and Alex Bregman really do hate each other. The thing about Trevor Bauer is he's 28 years old. He's 4-3 with a 3.95 ERA, but you would have club control through the 2020 season. That's option number 3. Of these 3 options, or I'll let you have D, none of the above,
right?
If you want to add that. Of these 3 options, Stroman, Bumgarner, Trevor Bauer, which one would you want to add to the Astros rotation?
My choice is none of the above. I have another name that I think would be a lock to get to and probably win the World Series. If I had to pick within these 3, it'd probably be Bumgarner, I would have to say. Just because, I mean, he's done it when you need it. You know, when you need it the most, he's done it in the postseason. But Max Scherzer is an expensive pitcher, but as you hear sometimes, hear me out, all right? He's a monster. I mean, he's a stud. And you would have Verlander and Scherzer up there. He's had some of the best years recently. And also, the Nationals are They're done. I mean, they had their window open and the window's closed. They've lost their players. He's still playing his game. He's leading the league in WAR. I think I saw that this morning, which is a big stat for pitchers. I'm not a big analytics guy, but that's a big stat for pitchers.
No, that's a measurable statistic.
Yeah, it is. And here's the other part. As much as you would have, he's got two more years after this year on his contract, and it's a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. If they trade for him this year, though, he has a no-trade contract that kicks in next year.
No-trade clause.
No-trade clause. So you could get him this year. You could also not have to worry about signing Gerrit Cole. And you brought that up earlier, and I hadn't really thought about it, but that's a great point because you would have Verlander locked up, Scherzer locked up.
McCullers coming back.
There's your 1-2-3.
Forrest Whitley.
Well, Whitley's not having a good year. I saw his ERA this morning. It's 12-something. but yes, he's down there.
He'll find it.
Yeah.
Or you could use him in the trade.
And then you don't have to worry about signing Gerrit Cole. Let him go where he wants to do. And you got three aces, I mean, potentially.
Scherzer is intriguing because that would be one of those short-term / long-term moves where you wouldn't have to pay Gerrit Cole the $25 million he's going to get this. I mean, he's getting $25 million a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Like, the guy with that stuff, with all the teams that are going to need pitching, Gerrit Cole is going to get the $25 million. So if you do bring in Scherzer, you could solve your problems at the top of the rotation, assuming that he is up for grabs. Bumgarner, you're going to have to give a new deal to. And he actually has no trade clauses to where you basically would have to reach a deal with him in order to acquire him. He's the most intriguing. Trevor Bauer, no thank you. I don't want to bring him in the clubhouse. I like Stroman, but the thing is, he's young. He's another guy who's probably going to break the bank. But man, if you did bring him in Stroman and he was and you signed him and you brought him back next year, this is a guy that A, the fans would love. This guy's got more fire than anyone you've ever seen. And B, him and Lance McCullers, that would probably be the sauciest pitching rotation in the history, the sauciest duo that you've ever seen. Those guys, I mean, they're almost like they almost got like basketball player level swag on a pitching mound. But Scherzer, mm-hmm. if that was an option, and if Jim Crane were willing to write the check,
I think it is.
It makes sense. And if you do bring in Scherzer, I think you could let Gerrit Cole go mm-hmm. if you are hesitant about it, giving him that six years that he's going to get for the 20, 25 million, because he's definitely getting it.
No, I think you could absolutely not have to worry about Cole. And he's as much as we like Cole, he's more proven. I mean,
oh, Scherzer, easily.
I mean, he's a stud, man. They would be immediately like prohibitive favorites to win the World Series.
And they might still be. That's the whole thing. We're nickeling and diming, and we're looking
ahead. But you know
why
they wouldn't be? Is because their pitching depth right now, their starting pitching depth, is absolutely in question.
Let me just give you, could I interest you in a resume?
I would love a resume.
This is
Are we hiring?
This is Max Scherzer's resume. 6-time All-Star, 3-time Cy Young Award winner, 4-time wins leader, 3-time NL strikeout leader, has pitched 2 no-hitters in his career, and has pitched 2 immaculate innings. Not sure what an immaculate inning is. Can you explain
that
to me?
I think it's striking out on 9 pitches. 3 strikeouts on 9 pitches.
Yeah, he's thrown 2 of those.
Yeah.
Wow. Pretty impressive. If you could get Scherzer, and if they're willing to cut
Verlander,
the check.
Verlander, Scherzer, ball game.
The thing is, you're gonna cut the check regardless. Assuming that you're going to sign Gerrit Cole, that check's going to get cut. You have Scherzer under control the same amount of time that you would have Verlander.
And then these other contracts start coming up. So financially, yeah, you'd be in a bind that third year, that second year after this season. But you might have 2 World Series championships under your – 2 more World Series championships under your belt.
Landry Locker, John Lopez with you the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. I wanted to ask you this, OG, because you're kind of a barbecue expert.
Thank you.
What are the worst dishes that people bring to a barbecue? The stuff that people bring – that you should not ever bring, or is it just one of those things where it just depends how it's cooked?
I know this might sound a little bit snobby, and I don't mean it to be.
Oh,
chips.
No. What?
People bringing chips?
You have to bring chips. You have to have
it's
chips.
So lazy, man.
What do you mean lazy?
You're freaking stop it.
No, that's something for like a nephew that don't really have a job like that or don't cook.
Yes.
You let the little kids bring the chips.
Yes.
And like
one of my kids, you know, wants to come to the barbecue and bring. Actually, I would expect more from them. But let's say they were in college. Like when one of my kids were in college and they want to come to the barbecue, they bring a bag of chips. Awesome. Great. Very much appreciated. If Landry Locker comes to my barbecue tomorrow and I'm making brisket and chicken And we're going to have, you know, all kinds of salads.
You already know what I'm bringing.
Beans.
You already know what I'm bringing.
If he brings a bag of chips, I won't let him in the house.
You already know what I'm bringing.
What are you bringing?
You already know what I'm bringing. Chick-fil-A nugget tray.
Oh, God. That's a cut above chips.
Come on, dude.
No. I want to know what the loopholes think about this. I'm talking about non-school age people invited to a barbecue.
I think deviled eggs are weak.
I love deviled eggs.
I think you bringing the deviled eggs is a weak
move.
Because
at least it takes some effort.
That's a weak move, bringing the deviled eggs.
I love deviled eggs.
Nah, I don't need that effort.
Because it takes time. You got to boil the eggs.
Nah,
that's
bro.
12 minutes right
nah,
there.
Nah, we don't need
then
the deviled
Then you
got to
mix
eggs.
Everything up. You got to slice them. I think you're wrong on that. But if somebody stops at Chevron, you know, and grabs a bag of Ruffles.
Some paper plates.
And some not even. Like, here you go. I brought some Ruffles. The hell out of here with that. A grown ass adult.
What if they bring a really good dip though? What if they bring a really good homemade dip?
That's a good qualifier. Like they make a good 3-layer dip or 7-layer, whatever the hell that thing is called, or some homemade dip, or even queso or something like that. Yeah, that's a different thing because at least you're putting effort in. But the people that are like, I brought ice. Ice is actually more
ice is important.
Ice is more important than chips.
Ice is very important.
Yeah,
chips are important though. You need them. You need them with the hot dogs.
Not as a grown ass man.
You need them, bro.
Grown ass woman.
You absolutely need them.
If you're past your sophomore year in college and you're bringing chips to a barbecue, get the hell out of here.
Why do you have to be a sophomore? What separates a junior in college from a sophomore in college?
Like
what's the difference? It's all the same, especially if you're me and you had two sophomore years, two junior years.
That's right.
Deviled eggs. Leave the deviled eggs.
Deviled eggs,
to yourself.
I disagree.
Keep those at your Thanksgiving. Don't be bringing those to the barbecue.
It takes
garbage.
Effort. It takes effort to make deviled eggs.
No, thank you. I don't need the deviled eggs. I do not need that.
We're going to do it big, man, tomorrow. I'm going to get up extra early. I get up early anytime. Anyway,
713-572-4610 in the loop the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Loophole Jack's got something for us. Jack, what's up, man?
Dude, if somebody invites you to a party like that, I'm bringing a $60 bottle of brandy or some Añejo tequila.
All right. Well, okay, if you're in Humble tomorrow.
Go to your party, Jack.
if you're in Walden tomorrow.
Has there ever been a guy who brings tequila to a party? Like if it's one thing if you're going to like a straight up bash, but if it's just kind of like a low key gathering,
mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a guy that brings or a girl that brings tequila to a party that doesn't end the night fighting with their significant other or getting in an argument with somebody
because they're usually smashed? No, I agree with you on that. I used to know a guy, I think I might have mentioned this to you before. He would bring a 12-pack of beer or whatever, and let's say we only drink, because, you know, everybody brings beer or whatever, and we only drank like six of them. He'd take the other beer home. He'd take the other six beers home with him. If you bring beer to a party.
Come on, dude.
That got to stay.
It's staying.
Wait.
Like he brought
take
a 12.
His own beer home?
He would take he'd bring a 12-pack of beer, okay? We would collectively only drink like six or eight of them.
You drink it or you leave it.
He would rummage back through the cooler, get his beer and leave with it.
Let me ask you this:
you bring beer to a party, it's there.
I know somebody who will bring like a 6-pack and drink the whole 6-pack.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
That's a BYOB.
But you don't take the one back if you only drink five. You know.
Let me ask you this, and we're talking about Memorial Day do's and don'ts at your Memorial Day gathering. Mm-hmm. Is it okay to take a to-go plate?
I encourage it. I think it's fine. I think it's a compliment. I really do. I think it's a big compliment. Man, this is so good. Can I take some of this home? Yeah, absolutely. For sure. How about this dude? He makes his deviled eggs. He smokes them, which sounds delicious, with caviar on top. Hell yeah.
Where the hell is he staying?
I'm in on that.
Thanks to Tillman Fertitta for listening.
I'm in on that.
That's
Lopez, I've never thought about it before, but you are 100% right with your chip thing. Grown-ass people don't bring chips to a party.
Figgy, you ain't down with the deviled eggs, are you?
Nah, not really. Nah.
I love deviled eggs.
You know the one dip you never bring anyways? Dips are good. Dips are good.
Dips are good.
Don't bring your bean dip.
Why not?
Don't bring your bean dip. For real.
Seriously?
You can bring your sour cream dip. You can even bring some hell of a good. You can bring some salsa. You could bring some 5-layer. You could bring some guacamole. Queso's encouraged. Throw some meat in there.
You know what? I'm a big
don't old, bring your damn bean dip. For
I'm
real. Straight a, up, don't bring your damn bean dip.
I'm a big fan of good old redneck French onion. The good old redneck French onion dip, man. I'm a fan.
You know the best chip and dip combo?
What?
Kettle cooked jalapeno Lays with Hell of a Good.
Hell of a Good is good.
If you get the Hell of a Good and you get the kettle cooked jalapeno Lays, very, very good. Serious.
I'm not kidding. I agree.
How you feel about those seasoned HEB tortilla chips, too?
Those are good. I'm like I said, I'm more of a Fritos and potato chip guy when it comes to dips. I want to keep it simple. You know what I mean?
You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, it's William.
What up,
I'm calling. What the heck he's got against deviled eggs and dip?
I want to know
if John would consider it acceptable if you made your own chips, like if you like got 100% and made them since.
100%.
Appreciate you, William.
It's the lack of effort that grabbing a bag of potato chips at the convenience store is just.
I'll say this. It's insulting. I'll say this. I don't think it should be measured by effort.
Why?
Because that's the same mindset that leads to people saying, "I don't like getting gift cards as a present." That's because of a lack of effort. But I would still rather have the gift cards. And let me put it this way: everybody has that aunt or that someone who put a lot of effort into that casserole, and it absolutely sucks, and everybody who needs to get so. So let's not measure on effort.
Yeah,
I go to HEB and get a shrimp cocktail. Is that acceptable? It takes as much effort as the chips.
No, it takes a little more because the chips you can get at a freaking convenience store around the corner. At least you have to get out of the car and fight the HEB crowd because Memorial Day weekend, good luck.
Man, ribs get a little, ribs will get a little messy, though, when you're at the party. You got to be careful there, too.
Love me so. I'm not doing ribs this week.
How do you feel about kegs? When's the last time you had a kegger?
Whoo. I'm a fan. I can't remember the last time I had a kegger.
Yeah, we need to have a kegger or something like that.
I like you have different different flavors of beer.
Well, when you have a kegger, that
means German beer, a little Mexican beer, a little American beer.
You got to come there with your game face on.
You're damn right.
Yeah, you got to come there with your jersey tucked in whenever there's a keg. Shout out to all the people getting the kegs. The only problem is it's easy to get a keg. The damn pumps are so hard to get.
Yeah, they
are. Damn pumps are so hard to get. And then, man, those can be a pain. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, wishing you a happy Memorial Day weekend. We're going to go around the NFL next. Have I lost respect for Aaron Rodgers because of his inability to chug a beer? We'll discuss next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.